Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Neil, now Instagram has announced a rollout of new teen accounts, which the platform said will include built-in protections for younger users. As we heard earlier in the show, users under 16 will need a parent's permission to change any of the built-in protections, while teenagers in Ireland and the rest of the EU will be placed into teen accounts later this year, we were told in this programme. I'm joined now for reaction by Dr. Mary Aiken, who's Professor of Cyber Psychology. Professor Mary Aiken, you're very welcome back to the programme.
Hi, Cormac.
What do you make of the new safety controls for teens on Instagram?
Well, we haven't had any information about how it's going to work, so social media companies have spectacularly failed to date to keep under 13s off their platforms and to regulate that. I can't see how they're going to make this work. Is it going to be self-verification? You know, or are kids going to volunteer that they're 14? And if they could volunteer that they're 14, why wouldn't they just self-report as being 18? So,
well, we spoke with a spokesperson from Meta earlier in the programme, and they said they have a number of ways to try and make sure that the age is correct. But Tara Hopkins did admit that a fake account or a fake age could be given to set up an Instagram account. But the new safety controls, they'll limit who teenagers can contact on Instagram. They'll limit the content they can see. And they'll have these new teen accounts will have private settings automatically turned on. Surely that will make a difference.
It won't make a difference. You know, the statement, it's been reported that the decision to introduce these teen accounts was driven by parents and not by any government legislation or proposals. Well, I strongly disagree with that. I think the only thing that has resulted in these sort of initiatives being announced is increasing global regulatory initiatives, including Minister Stephen Donnelly, who announced last month that he wanted to ban social media, the increasing body of research and reports highlighting mental and physical health issues, increasing liability, particularly, say, class and group actions in the US, and probably somewhere near the bottom of the list, parental concerns and teen welfare. And the point is that, you know, you could look at this cynically and say, well, actually, this is a cheap way of outsourcing content moderation and liability to parents. You know, the responsibility of moderating the platforms should lie with those who profit in this sector, not with overburdened parents. We've already heard somebody talking earlier on the programme that parents are struggling. You know, it's quite preposterous to think that, you know, to rope parents into some sort of forced labour solution to solve problems for these companies.
Meta have said that they have listened to parents, which is why they're bringing in the new safety protocols for teens. They also told us on this programme that they're working to build new technology, which they say will be able to find accounts that lie about their age, and that they're testing that technology in the US, and they're hoping to have it working quite soon. And they say that would be a game changer.
But these technologies already exist. So you have a whole safety tech sector, well established in the UK, established in the US, increasingly established in Europe, and likely to be established in Ireland soon, that can provide AI and ML solutions, what's called multimodal social media content moderation technologies, that can provide those solutions. So why are we taking a step backwards? Why are we trying to make parents responsible? So, for example, are parents supposed to monitor a couple of hours of social media traffic per child, per day? I mean, the equivalent would be to ask parents to go into schools and sit by their kids in school to ensure they don't make a spelling mistake. Mm-hmm. It's a laughable solution. And most importantly, it won't work.
Why won't it work? Because if there's oversight, can I ask you this? If a teen knows that under the new safety controls devised by Meta and Instagram, if a teen knows that my mommy or daddy will be able to see what I see, or who they'll be able to see who I contact or is contacting me, at least that is oversight.
No, Because there will be one account set up that the teen will say, this is the parental control account. And then we know from the research that the majority of kids have 4 to 5 identities per platform. And Meta and big tech companies are not going to be able to identify with 100% certainty who the user is unless you have new technologies introduced, such as digital identity, which is the EU is looking at. So, and that solution is years away. So what happens in the interim? In the interim, this is a way of passing the buck to parents to make parents responsible for their children's activities in cyber context. And the problem is, this is a big data problem. It has, you know, the characteristics of big data: volume, velocity, variety. In other words, there's a lot of traffic. And parents who are already overworked and overly stressed are now being roped in to monitor their kids' activities in addition to their existing world workload, while big tech profits in the space. So I see this, cynically, you may argue, as a profit grab. It's a way of reducing costs when the AI technologies exist already.
I was trying to probe Meta on their new safety protocols for teens. And on foot of that, I assume, Terry texted the programme and he said, for God's sake, Cormac, are you looking for utopia as regards online contact for underage users? Go anywhere and look around to see parents giving mobiles to kids while they have a coffee or a chat with friends. You can't put everything on the tech industry, says Terry, and I'm sure others like him. So maybe that's the way people feel.
But that's part of the argument. You know, part of the argument is that digital devices in restaurants, whatever, are being used as virtual nannies for kids. And I would argue that's part of the problem that needs some governance, if not regulation, in terms of the age at which children are exposed to devices and in what way. I mean, the point is that social tech companies will only respond to pressure from government and regulators. And, you know, I've worked in this area for 15 years. Mm-hmm. The tide is turning. We're seeing increasing, look at the Australian government. I know Julia Mann-Grant, the safety commissioner.
Mm-hmm. You had her in this program,
the reason, yeah. The reason that you're seeing this increase in global regulation and move towards regulation is because of what's called online harm. And what is required is technology solutions to technology-facilitated problem, harmful, and indeed criminal behaviour. And the bigger argument is that the age of big tech, self-moderation, self-regulation, and self-governance is over. What we need is transparency. We need external content moderation organizations who report on what's actually happening inside these companies.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to make the difference. You know, if you go back to, you know, back to the 1860s, you know, when they were trying to control, you know, motorized vehicles, the solution was to ask a man to run in front of a car waving a red flag. I think that in time we'll look back at these types of solutions and consider it to be laughable.
But in fairness, the government have said that if the social media companies don't move to protect children online, that they will act, they will enforce a move upon them, enforce protection upon them. And Minister for Education Norma Foley has talked to us in this program about her guidelines for smartphone use in schools, or for her code to keep childhood smartphone free. The Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, has set up a task force to look at the extent of harm that social media and phones are doing to teens. Are they not being proactive enough, in your opinion?
I think, you know, I'm delighted and absolutely welcome initiatives. I mean, you know, I'm like a stuck record on this topic for the last, you know, 15 years, keep saying the same thing. And finally, we're seeing ministers take action. But the reason we're seeing this sort of action, it's not just specific to Ireland, we've seen the same in the UK, is actually the cost to the mental health services of dealing with the problems associated with use of these technologies. And so it comes down to cost. And while these initiatives take place, and it takes years in some contexts, children are being exposed to harm. So from my point of view, I would like to see activity in a more timely way. And somebody earlier mentioned a new task force that'll produce a report in a year. We don't need a year. There are so many initiatives in other countries. I mean, I
can I ask you this? And sometimes it's no harm to repeat what you've said on this program before, because I've asked you this question before. What harm is being done to our children by social media? And how young is that being done?
You know, I can't give you a 30-second soundbite on harm. You know, there's a vast body of statistics in terms of increasing anxiety, increasing levels of depression, increasing levels of self-harm, of self-starvation, of cutting, of suicidal ideation. You know, there's a very, very wide body of literature. What we're seeing, say, for example, with Ofcom reports, which are UK reports about children's technology use, we're seeing children as young as two, owning mobile phone devices and having their own social media accounts. We don't have equivalent research in Ireland, but the probability is that it's similar in terms of usage. So we're seeing this very wide range of problematic behaviour associated with technology use. We're also seeing very specific initiatives in other countries. So to move on this issue quickly, what would be required is a review of the sort of research and legislation that has taken place worldwide, and then an Irish consensus on what that might be. Oh. That doesn't take a year.
Okay.
That takes about 3 months.
So let's say that that review happens in 3 months. Finally, what should the government do on foot of that review then? What needs to happen in legislation?
I think the biggest seismic change is to stop allowing these companies to regulate themselves and make it an external entity. I can list half a dozen companies that use multimodal type content moderation. Those content moderation entities could sit on these platforms and provide weekly, daily, hourly reports for government in terms of what's actually happening. And I think when ministers had that sort of a visibility, then they would be able to act
quickly. But we have an online safety commissioner, don't we, appointed?
They don't have that sort of visibility in real time to what's happening on the platforms.
Okay.
You need technology sitting on the platforms independently monitoring what's happening, and then you will have visibility. Look, this is the first big global move to regulate big tech. It certainly won't be the last.
Okay. Professor Mary Aiken, expert in cyber psychology. Thank you very much indeed. 51551.